Tonight, I just want to share for a short time for the theme of our youth this year, Unshakable. There are many definitions covering unshakable, some such as unable to weaken, unable to be changed, disputed or questioned, or simply unable to be shaken. Are we unshakable? There came a point in my own life where I wasn't unshakable. My foundation wasn't built strong. It was like building a house on sand. No matter how strong you think the building itself is, it will still fall as the foundation it's built on isn't solid. And just like that house, the building is just like us. We find ourselves relying on our own might, our own power and strength instead of allowing God to work on us, amen, through us and to mold us. I too thought I could do it all on my own. I thought, yeah, I can do it. But on my own might and power, there's no way. No matter how many times I tried to do it, I always failed. I was down. I suffered depression, anxiety. It was a mess. Yet, no matter how many times I failed and no matter how many times I wanted to give up, He was always there. Amen?
That's right.
No matter how many times I messed up, He was always there. We serve a great God, a forgiving God. Amen? But I reached a point where I chose to give it all to God. But this time it wasn't by my own might or power. It was by allowing God to have His way through me. By giving my whole self back to Him, I was able to stand strong and unshakable, and everything fell back into place. In Matthew 6, verse 33... it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seeking Him first is a must in all we do. This way we are giving God ourselves to work on us and lead us on the straight way. Amen. Psalm 62, 1-2. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. He is our salvation. He is our solid rock and foundation. Make Him the center of it all and allow Him to form that solid, unshakable foundation. So tonight, if you find yourself at a place of sinking, feeling weak, tired, or lost, allow God to have His way through you and see how unshakable the real deal is. Amen.
Growing in and with God. Amen. Let's turn to John 15, verse 4. It says, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That is the secret of spiritual growth, to abide. Amen? What does abide mean? To abide means to stay in a given place. For us, it means to maintain unbroken fellowship with God. It is regularity. It is consistency. And it results in producing lasting fruit. One of the most important truths and often overlooked that has much to do with how us Christians can live a victorious life has to do with how consistent we are. As with anything in life, the more consistent we are at doing something, the more impact it will have on your life. We were at Bishop Downs and Sister Downs's house yesterday and we went for breakfast, and I was admiring, they took us to the back in their backyard, and they have such a beautiful backyard. I was really impressed with what I saw, and you know, it made me think that, you know, it's a beautiful, lush, green, very maintained garden, and I'm sure Sister Downs is always in there prodding and pulling out weeds and everything like that, making it look just the way she wants it to look. But if she didn't work at it and pull the weeds out or water it and maintain it, then it won't stay like that. It won't flourish. The weeds will start to grow again and the plants will probably eventually die. And that's like us Christians. We read his word and pray every day so we can be spiritually fed. Otherwise, we can die spiritually too and not flourish. But God wants us to draw near to him. Amen? We can go through all sorts of trials in our lives, but he's there for us. And he said it in his word that if we cast our burdens upon him, he will take care of the situation. We look at Daniel in the Bible and how he was thrown into the lion's den. It certainly drove him to his knees when crisis came. The enemy is always watching for inconsistency in our lives each day. He doesn't want us to achieve or be consistent in anything so that we can fail and walk away from him. But our goal in life is to make it to heaven, and we need to keep going and be who he wants us to be and grow in him. I have a 7-year-old son at home, and there's this little Bible that we read every night, and it says, Jesus died upon a cross, but that was not the end. After 3 days, he rose again so we could be his friends. And you can be a part of this amazing story too, for the journey has not finished. It continues with you. And like it really, you know, every night when we read that, it really speaks to me, you know, because we are on this journey. And, you know, it's true how it says we are on, the journey has not finished. It continues with you. And that's you and I. We are God's children. And we are on this journey and we need him every single day. Amen. I want to be there on that day when God sounds that trumpet and calls us to be with him and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. So I just encourage you, church, don't give up on this journey that we are on. Keep going. Amen. Because we want to make it to the end. Amen. Thank you.
Back when I was a youth growing up in high school, I struggled with finding a job in high school. And as a developing teenager, like constantly trying to plot ahead of your necessities, these were one of my many worries growing up. And as you would have it, God has intricate ways in answering your questions and your prayers. And one of the many things I've learned growing up is not only as maturing, as a developing person, but spiritually, is that you cannot put a time frame on God. And during my times in high school, I would pray for a job that would suit me for my circumstances in high school. Like sometimes I would pray, Lord, that Macca's job is looking pretty mean. I can feed my mates, flip burgers for cash, and it's 50% off meals. I'm on my break. Or, Lord, I love chicken, and I saw that KFC down the road is hiring, and it's meant to take home hot and spicy chicken on 9 pieces for $10 cheese, eh? Like, Domino's is literally downstairs from me. And I would pray, Lord, Domino's literally is right next door and is hiring. I reckon I could be a mean pizza maker and sleep at home on my break. One day, one of my brother's high school mates, he's actually employed by Commonwealth Bank, and he was the manager there, and he came up to me and asked me if I was looking for a job. That night, I prayed, Lord, please not the bank. I hate mathematics. I was so desperate to make money in high school that I even started my own chocolate and sweets business, and I averaged $50 a week in profits. And as it would have it, God never gave me a job in high school, at least not a proper job, like none. I applied. My mates, they'd apply for Coles, Kmart, no job. Not for me anyway. And during that time, I didn't get no answer from God. Also desperate for a job, you know, like before I sat my HSC exams, I applied for one private music institute and a public university in Western Sydney, and I was accepted into both, and the private music institute price for 2 years was $60,000, 2 years in trimesters, while the other university was just a measly $20,000, and like I was weighing my options at the time, and with just being jobless, I opted for the cheaper university course in 2016, and in hindsight, thank God I did that. Save myself from debt. And it was great. I got accepted to university, and I was able to study what I wanted. I was still desperate for a job. Before I started uni at the fresh age of 17, in 2016, I prayed these exact words. I said, "Lord, give me a job, even if it's anything." Those 9 words I spoke that night, I never knew God would answer in such a peculiar way. And during the time of 2016 was especially an important time for me to find a job. My mum was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and traveling to that uni that was $20,000 for 3 years, I have to travel even today. I'm just finishing, thank God. I travel 2 hours each way, so a total of 4 hours to get to uni, and I travel there on average 4 days a week. So especially during the time of 2016, it was a necessity to be able to support myself financially, and obviously I have 2 older brothers, and they were also pitching in their part. But yeah, it was a really delicate time to just step up as a person. Well, within the week or two, I applied for a job. Right across my home was Woolies. And I was interviewed in the process, accepted within 24 hours, and I was placed into the produce department. And I thank the Lord for my first job. But little did I know, I wasn't prepared for this intricate answer. So due to my large size and not necessarily being tall, but because I was more fitted 2-3 years ago from martial arts and weightlifting in high school, they overworked me for the mere 2-3 shifts a week that were 5 to 9 hours long. And they would give me 3 100-kilo trolleys to place that in an hour and expect it to be put all out within the time span. And something like that is realistically only achievable with good department morale, a leader instead of a boss, possible friendships, and realistically, 2 or 3 more people working the same shift as me. So instead, I was just working with the manager at the time, long shifts. I was given the closing shifts. I had the dirty jobs where I'd have to scrub the sewers and the gutters of produce area. If I worked overtime, and if I didn't clean in time, I was never paid the extra minutes or the extra half hours that I had to do. I wasn't allowed much freedom to communicate with other store members and slide into bakery, you know. I was never allowed that. And I was actually discouraged to make friendships and build relationships with other departments. I suffered under abusive managers who would have me throw out rubbish without gloves. At the dumpsters, I'd pick up wooden pallets without gloves. It wasn't really the safest things, and sometimes I'd be plucking out splinters from my hands, and I would end some of my shifts. And that in itself just had me develop an exhausted attitude amidst all my circumstances going on. And I could never make time to balance my uni, work, ministry in church, and personal spiritual development at home. And I was told that I was a slow worker, I needed to work harder into the very job that I tried putting my best efforts to make money to support myself for uni, into the very job that I would sacrifice important dates and put it first because I was so desperate to be able to support myself financially and really jump into the real world. Despite all this, I still tithed my paycheck as little as it was when I turned 18 during the year of 2016. I was still only making $14.60 an hour. I eventually started praying and praising the Lord during my 15, 30-minute break times at home with my guitar to just get me through the shifts. I only lasted at Woolies for 8 months, and I remember one of those shifts when I finished work, I prayed deeply to God, and I was a bit more specific this time because, the Lord already answered. He gave me anything. So I was really careful. And that's the thing, too. When you pray, be specific with God. If you're praying patience, you're going to be waiting for, 10 years just to get that answer. So I was really specific with this. I said, "Lord, please give me a job that I can balance uni, work, church, and have time for myself so I won't be overwhelmed." Specifically that. And in Jesus' name, I prayed that prayer. And during the end of my season at Woolies, I was encouraged by a friend of mine in Sydney to actually try an after-school care company called Camp Australia. And with a few dodgy references from my uni mates and one legitimate reference from Youth Pastor Greg, I was accepted into this after-school care company. And great. I looked at my contract. Must be able to work 2 or 3 shifts from 2:30 to 6 p.m. So at max only 3.5 hours. No weekend work required. So I could get that time that I wanted to develop myself during the week and forget about uni. Hourly earnings, $25.50. I found out I was accepted near the end of my first semester of uni in 2016. And like I shouted my mates at the nearest pizza joint back in Sydney. And when I got home that day, I was so filled with joy that my initial prayer was answered. And to be able to find balance in my life, for studies, my own family, and God. But even with that, in hindsight, I never understood the way God answered my prayers up until recently. And I've worked in a handful worth of schools since 2016, up until now. And I stayed with that school. That was my first one, up until turning point last year in 2017. And I know Rachel and Helen will remember this event. So 27 last year at Turning Point, I lost my shifts at a service that I started at because that day I actually chose to fellowship with family and friends and I called a sickie at work. Just for some reason, I know it sounds dumb, but you know, when you listen to the voice of God, of course it's going to sound dumb to other people, but I listened. He told me, go fellowship. So I fellowshipped, and mind you, I'm really a diligent worker. I've never called in sick. I was always punctual, would sometimes put work over uni, and I was really an energetic person at the service. We averaged up to 105 kids a day, and that was split between 5 staff members. And again, it would seem like I enjoy suffering, but I assure you that's definitely not the case. I'd be stuck outside with 40 kids by myself when our legal ratio was 1 to 15. Not the most ideal ratio, but the most legal ratio the company is able to get away with, you know. I really didn't understand God's way of answering my prayer for a job. And at the time, my priority was keeping the balance between work and uni, and not really God. So I ended up losing my shifts at the service, and consequently, that put me out of a job from October last year to February when I got back from holidays this year. And that was one of the most expensive trips with my family. They went to Singapore, Philippines, experience. But yeah, I came back so broke. Once I lost my shifts from Turning Point last year, I actually couldn't afford to go to uni. And I ended up failing 2 subjects. So I prayed. I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. So nearing the end of November 2017, God answered me one night in the midst of my prayers and over the many questions I had for my future and for the job I lost. And he told me, your worries are not my worries. Put me first and I will take care of your career. I also remember a scripture. He also answered a lot of other questions and he gave me Jeremiah 1:7, if we could get that up quickly. My phone's there. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And from November up until now, I listened to what he told me. And Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I exemplified my faith. Because to me, when I go back to James 2:14-26, you guys can read it in your own time. I cannot simply believe and have faith and expect God to work miracles overnight with no effort on my part. From that time on, I lost my job, my time of prayer, devotions, fasting, and overall relationship just improved. The only thing that didn't improve in hindsight was my bank balance. I couldn't even afford an 80-cent Slurpee. But, you know, that was the mere sacrifice of being sped spiritually. Fast forward to February this year, when I came back broke from a family trip. I honestly checked my company roster, and God made 2 holiday shifts available that earned me over $150 for just only under 6 hours of work that day. I thanked the Lord. I tithed my money. And the week later, I got a call from one of the school services that I've covered during my time with the company. And they wanted me to fill in for 2 weeks when their school term began for the full weekdays. I continued to tithe. Praise the Lord. Amongst the challenging times. And for the extra work he gave to me, I still continued to pray. My devotions and my spiritual life didn't diminish when I took things slowly and when God gave me each step. And eventually, those 2 weeks ended up turning into a second-in-command position with field shifts weekly. I got a pay increase, and to this day, I thank God for being there during my seasons. As of now, I've learned that in my seasons of being overwhelmed, I should take a break, and when I need to, I just need to continually just put Him first, which has solved the majority of my doubts and troubles. And what I've learned from this, and why I chose to speak about this today, is to one, warn you again, be careful what you pray for. Because when God answers your prayers, He really answers your prayers. And we can't guarantee God moving in His own time. And we won't always know when God moves in His own time. The second thing that I learned, and I really took this to heart, and it was that if only I showed the same desperation for God, just like I did for the desperation of a job, things would have clicked to me much earlier, and I probably wouldn't have struggled so much. When we put God first and exemplify our faith, what do we have to be worried about? If God's on our side, what can come against us, really? We already have power when we speak the name of Jesus. And again, if I showed the same desperation for God as I did for a job, surely I would have saved myself a lot of stress and held back a lot of pounds from overworking my body. I just want to encourage you all just to put God first in all aspects of your life. And even when you don't see it, I challenge you to put God first and see Him move in your life. Exemplify your faith in God by putting Him first, so unto you what needs to be solved in your life can be guided and directed by God.